In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a handful of the call stories in the Bible. This is wildly appropriate since we have the installation of officers next week, and my official installation is your pastor the week following. So it's good to look at how God has called people of faith in the past and to explore how God is still calling us today. We begin our series on call stories with the call of Samuel. One of the greatest blessings in my life is that when I was 9 years old, we moved from Reed City to Metro Detroit and moved in with my grandparents. So I got to spend most of my growing up years in a three-generation household. More than that, we had a four-generation neighborhood because not long after we moved to Troy, my grandma's brother bought the house two doors down the street, and my great-grandmother moved up from Missouri. So we really had four generations within two households on the same street. Those were some great years, boy. I was a fourth grader and would come home from school and would go sit with Granny. And it was great. I got to sit with Grandma and with Granny, my great-grandmother, until Uncle Paul would come home from work, and it was just, those were some great times. My grandma got mad at her one time because Granny and I had a silent language. She would snap her fingers and point at the china hutch. Now, I knew that this meant she wanted the chocolate coconut macaroons. Grandma thought she was being awfully demanding of her only granddaughter and said, "Mother, why are you?" Christina knows, leave us alone. She'd do that because she didn't want Uncle Paul knowing where the macaroons were. Anyway, great memories of growing up with four generations all in one spot. My great-grandmother died at 98 and a half years old, and I did. I got 4 good years of her living down the street from us, and it was just fantastic. I remember one time, as part of living with your aging grandparents, is that you get to help take care of them as they continue to age. And I remember one time, must have been my sophomore year at Alma, Grandpa had a pretty bad fall, and he significantly injured his arm. I mean, torn muscles and just not good. And one of the disadvantages for him was that with that, he couldn't pull himself up the stairs to go up to bed. And so he was sleeping in his chair in the family room. Well, he not only couldn't pull himself up the stairs, he also couldn't push himself up out of the rocking recliner when nature called in the middle of the night. So when I came home for that summer, I slept on the couch in the family room so that Grandpa, if he needed somebody, he could just call and I'd get up and help get him out of the chair and he'd go do his thing, and there it was. It worked well. He, where his chair was and the couch was kind of behind it and whatnot, and he'd call and he'd go, "Sis, Sissy, Christina." And I'd get up, "Huh? What, Papa? What do you need?" And and it was great. It was that experience that helped me better understand the young Samuel from today's reading. I could understand what it was like to be awakened by the call of somebody that he cared about and somebody that had cared for him all those years. You see, remember, Samuel was given to the temple as soon as he was weaned. And while his mother would come visit him, Scripture tells us, he wasn't with her all the time. So Eli was the only family he really knew, day in and day out. It says he was about 11 years old and with Eli. And so Eli was older, and he was not in the best of health, and his eyesight had started to fail. And in this episode in the story, Eli's gone to lay down. He's not feeling all that great. He can't see, and so he's laying down. Well, Samuel goes and lays down on his cot. Not right with Eli, but not so far away that he couldn't hear him. Here it is, the middle of the night. Silence has fallen over the temple. It's like the house real quiet, 2 o'clock in the morning, right? And here he is laying there, and he hears, "Samuel! Samuel!" Well, like me on the couch, he sat bolt right up in bed, and here I am, I'm awake, here I am, and runs into Eli and says, "You called me, what do you need? How can I help?" Well, that wakes Eli up, and Eli, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he goes back to bed, and he lays down. Sure enough, just quiet, settles again. And he hears, Samuel, Samuel, I'm up. You called me. Eli, what's wrong? How can I help? He's 11 years old. He doesn't know. How can I help? Again, wakes up Eli. I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he goes a third time, and he lays down, and he's dozing off, and Samuel, Samuel, you called me. What do you want? What's wrong? Are you okay? I mean, he's blind. He can't see. It's got terrible, not feeling well. And Eli is just not getting it. And Samuel is insistent that it is Eli, his companion, his person, his family is calling for him. We had a problem of understanding in this time. Scripture tells us that the Lord's word was rare, that people were not used to hearing from God. They'd forgotten what God sounded like. Eli, who was in the temple, who was a priest, who was a religious leader, forgot what the voice of God sounded like. Poor Samuel's 11 years old. While he'd grown up in the temple, he'd never been taught about God. He didn't know that God used to speak to people like that. He's 2 years off from his bar mitzvah. I mean, he didn't know. Who is this God, and why could he possibly be speaking to him? He didn't know. I wonder sometimes, are we living in a time now when the word of the Lord is rare? Or is it more a case that we've simply forgotten how to listen for it? I wonder if we are more like Samuel. We hear God speaking and we don't know who or what it is. Or if we're more like Eli. We witness God's call in someone's life, but we've forgotten what God sounds like. So we are slow or unable to help them discern and understand their calling. On one hand, if someone hears God calling and doesn't know that it's God, or doesn't know that they are supposed to trust what they hear and feel, then the word of the Lord is rare through the virtue of being uninformed. On the other hand, if we witness the call of God in someone else's life but forget what God's call actually sounds like, then the word of the Lord is rare in our time by virtue of misunderstanding. This is a problem, my friends. There are so many other voices out there trying to tell us what we should do, what we should wear, who we should be, what we should achieve. There's so many other calls out there that if we're not careful, might detract us from our true call. And at the same time, not only do we need to be listening for our own call, but we have to be careful not to become one of those voices that takes away from the call of God. Think about it this way. When a small child tells you that they want to do one thing or be one thing or another when they grow up, how many times have we told a child that what they want to be when they grow up isn't quite okay? How many times growing up did we hear when we told somebody, this is what I want to be when I grow up, how many times did we hear, well, that's not okay? Someone very dear to me had told me at one time that when she was a child, she told her mother that she wanted to be a firefighter or a paramedic, that she wanted to help people, that that's what she wanted to do. And her mother's response was, well, you can't do that. You're too sensitive, and oh, by the way, you're a girl. Her dreams were dashed. Her dreams of that were dashed. And to this day, I guarantee you she is still one of the most level-headed people in an emergency, and she is one of the first ones to offer assistance when it's needed. We get into a mindset as a society where we follow what society teaches and what the world teaches instead of remembering who we are and whose we are and whose call we are truly supposed to be following and listening for. The story doesn't end there. The third time, Samuel is awakened by the calling of his name. Samuel! Samuel! And a third time, he wipes the sleep from his eyes, stumbles out of bed, and goes to Eli and says, "Okay, you've called me this time. Surely it was you." And while Eli's physical eyes had failed him, the eyes of his heart and his soul were finally opened, and he had an aha moment. Oh, it's not me. It has to be the Lord. So Eli's demeanor changes from being all disgruntled that this 11-year-old keeps waking him up to one of, "Okay, Samuel, next you go lay down again, and the next time you hear the voice, you say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel goes and lay down. And sure enough, the voice comes again. "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel sits up in bed and says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." He responds directly to the voice that was speaking to him. So even though it feels like we live in a time when the voice of the Lord is rare, there are a few things for us to remember. First is this: God is still speaking to us even when we don't understand. Listen to that again. God speaks to us even when we do not understand. It can be in any number of ways. Just because we don't understand does not mean God is necessarily silent. And here's the thing. God knows us. God knows us. He calls us. He speaks to us in ways that we understand best. Think about that. It's like when I was taking care of Grandpa and was waiting to hear Grandpa calling me to come help him up. What did Grandpa do? He called me in a way I could understand him best, in a way that would get my attention. "Sis, Sissy, Christina, Kina, Little Pumpkin, take it, come on." Only once did he have to ring the little bell that was next to him because I was gone to the world, but that's all right. God spoke to Samuel, called his name. And he called his name just as Eli would have done, because that's how he got his attention. God knows what we need. I call it the proverbial frying pan upside the back of the head. God knows what it is that he needs to do to get our attention. And it did it. It got him out of bed. It got him to respond. And that's where the second thing to remember is. Sometimes the best way God can get us to understand and to hear him and his call and our call by him is to use someone else's voice. God used Eli as the catalyst through which Samuel would learn how to hear his call. It was Eli whose spirit's eyes were finally opened, and he recognized the voice that was speaking to Samuel. We too need to pay attention. And we need to be better about discerning what is the voice of God and what is the voice of the world. I truly believe that each of us has a call. That God speaks our call to us in ways that we can best understand. I truly believe that sometimes God uses other people as the voices we can best understand, and sometimes we ourselves may be the voice that somebody else needs to understand God's call. Think about that. Every time you help someone name what their spiritual gifts are, every time you take the time to listen to someone, every time you teach someone about the love of God, just maybe, you are living into your call to be a catalyst. We need to be better about paying attention to when God is speaking to us. And we need to be careful to not squash the spirit of someone else when someone else hears the voice of God. Our God knows us. Our God created us. Our God knows exactly what it is we need. So in these cold days of January, may we truly be open to the will of God. When we pray, "Thy will be done," may we believe it. May our ears be open to hear God's calling. May our hearts be open to following where God is leading. And may we truly be willing to respond. "Here I am, Lord." Amen.